That's a great promise and a great hope that we have. All other ground is sinking sand. The last thing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said before he left the world was a command that he gave to those who would follow him in the future and in the present. And these are his words. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Go tell what God has done. That's what Jesus said to his disciples and the church as he left this earth. If you were to go to UT up in Knoxville to the athletic department and ask the coaches there and the athletic director, what's the bottom line at UT when it comes to athletics? What do you suppose he would say? He'd say the bottom line is winning. Winning, whatever the sport, whatever the occasion. If you were to walk into one of the larger or smaller businesses here in the city of Cleveland, Tennessee, and you would say to the owners or to the managers, what's the bottom line in this business that you're operating here? They would say to you, it's making a profit. It's making a profit. If you were to walk up to Jamie, our drummer over here, after the service and say, as a car salesman, what's the bottom line when it comes to selling cars? And Jamie would say, selling cars. That's right. The bottom line, well, let me ask you this question. Here at Big Spring Baptist Church, what do you think is the bottom line for Big Spring Baptist Church? Jesus ruled out any misunderstanding or doubt you might have about that when he gave his final instruction and set the mission of the church that would follow after him. Jesus said, our mission is to find and reach those who do not have peace with God, who don't have a home in heaven, and bring them to an understanding knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's the bottom line, folks. That's our major, that's our main thing, that's middle C, that's what it's all about. Now, my prayer for you today and my prayer for this church is that God will convince you of that. I don't think you're all convinced of that. My prayer is that God will convict you that that the main thing about being a Christian, about being a part of the body of Christ, is to share the hope and joy of Jesus Christ with other people. That's the main thing. That's what it's all about. It's not about building buildings. It's not about keeping them up. It's not about decorating them or any of those things. The main thing is that people may know the hope and joy of Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. Now, I want to share with you this morning something. The reason I pray that prayer and the reason I think Jesus gave that command here, and that is that heaven is counting on you to get the main thing done. Heaven is counting on you. I love that song you sang a moment ago, and I'm sure that Tom already knows the one I'm going to quote right now. It's another choir special that is sung often. It's entitled Heaven is Counting on You. Listen to the words of it. Heaven is counting on you. Run with a heart that's true. Carry the cross. Reach the lost. Heaven is counting on you. We're standing at the end of time. We're part of a great and grand design. We are grateful to a risen Lord for the others who've gone on before. I hear voices in the heavenlies. They're calling for you and for me, and they're saying, rise up. There's a world to win. I hear them saying again, heaven is counting on you. Run with a heart that's true. Carry the cross. Reach the lost. Heaven is counting on you. Many have suffered, even given their lives for the message of the risen Christ. Now they're watching, seated high above, shouting to us as we run. There's a race. There's a prize. There's a price to pay. Run with a heart that's true. Carry the cross. Heaven is counting on you. That's a great song. What a challenge. you're saying, you may be saying, you may be one of those saying, well, but is it true? Does the Bible say that? I'm going to let you decide for yourself. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12 in the book of Hebrews, verses 1 and 2. Listen as you think about whether or not heaven is counting on you. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, you're probably saying, well, what does that have to do with talking about Jesus or telling the lost about Jesus? Now, listen seriously, folks. That's exactly what it says. I want you to go back to that word right at the beginning there where it says, since we're also surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Do you know what that word in Bible language, what that word is? It's martureo. You get the connection, martyr. This great cloud of witnesses that God says are looking down from the realms of glory of heaven upon us today, these folks are not just spectators. They're not just witnesses who've been called to give their opinion about something. These are the people who have laid down their lives sharing the hope and joy of Jesus Christ with others. They're the martyrs of heaven. And there's a great cloud of them, unnumbered cloud of them, who are looking down upon us, and they're counting on you and they're counting on me to finish the race that they started, that they paid for with their life's blood. It's challenging, I think, for me to know and for us to know that there are folks who are in God's heaven who are looking down at us and who are waiting for us to finish the task that they began. The question is, will you do it? Can heaven count on you? But that's not all that's counting on you, because Jesus Christ is counting on you too. It's right there in that passage of Scripture we read a moment ago where it says there in verse 2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There are parts of the world today, and I know you're going to have a hard time, and I do too, identifying with this, but there are parts of the world today where just to speak the name of Jesus, to share with someone the hope that is in Christ alone, you pay for that with your life. With your very life. In the year 1996, which was about 10 years ago, more than 160,000 Christians were martyred. That is, they were murdered for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others in the world. 160,000. Michael Horowitz, who's a Jewish lobbyist in Washington, D.C., did something really unusual back a few years ago. He opened up his home to a Christian from Ethiopia to come and live with his family in Washington, D.C. I want to read to you the statement that Michael Horowitz, this Jewish lobbyist, made about this man. He said, there's a man who lives with us who is the embodiment of Christian faith, and I'm in awe of it. He's from the Ethiopian Evangelical Church. He's the senior pastor there. He's trying to find or to get asylum for himself and his family here in the United States, and he's meeting every possible roadblock that you can imagine. Here's a man who has been jailed over 25 times in his native land for sharing his faith. He's been tortured. He's been hung upside down and hot oil poured over his feet. This is a man of abiding faith who will be tortured again and probably murdered if he's sent back to Ethiopia. But you know what happened when we petitioned for asylum for him here in the United States? Well, the State Department sent a letter to the Immigration Service and said, there's no persecution of Christians in Ethiopia. Well, that's how things are. But the scripture here says, don't even look to people like this Ethiopian pastor as the one who challenges us and models for us what we're to be doing as children of God. He says, look to Jesus. Why to Jesus? Why would we look to Jesus? Because he's the perfect model and pattern and example of what we should be ourselves in this world that we live in and the freedom that we enjoy. Jesus, who took upon himself the form of a man and left the glories of heaven and all of these things so that he could then become the witness of God's love to the world that he lived in and laid down his whole life for us and for our salvation. So Jesus is counting on you. That's why we should do this. That's why we should be witnesses. That's why we should share with others about what Christ means to us and what he's done for us. Listen to what Jesus said on one occasion in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Will you do it? Will you tell others what Jesus has told you? Can Jesus count upon you? Now, not only does heaven count upon you, but Jesus is counting on you. And God the Father is counting on you. Now, where does it say that? Well, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, this very moment, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Our mission is to tell 1.5 billion people on the face of this planet who've never heard the name of Jesus is spoken as their Savior and as the one who gives to them eternal life. Our business is to tell them why Jesus came into this world. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples in John's Gospel, in chapter 12 and verse 50, Jesus said, therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Do you realize what happened there? The command that Jesus gave to us that we would go into all the world just got sent back one step farther to God the Father. Jesus said, whatever I speak, I say to you because the Father has spoken it to me. So God the Father is counting on you, counting on me, that we will give, that we will heed what his Son Jesus Christ has taught us and go into all the world and share the hope and joy of Jesus Christ with others. Can Jesus count on us? Can God the Father count on you? Well, there are more. I want you to know something. Your church is counting on you too. Big Spring Baptist Church is counting on you to share the joy and hope of Jesus with others around us here. In a letter that Paul wrote to a church in Corinth, in chapter 3 of his first letter, in verse 9, Paul said, for we are God's fellow workers. In other words, God has made us part of his body on this earth. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit of God has placed every member in the body as it pleases him. If you're a part of Big Spring Baptist Church, you're not here by accident. You may think so. You may wonder at the circumstances that brought you here. But the Bible says it is the Spirit of God that has brought you and placed you in this body. And this church is counting on you to carry, to help carry out the command that Jesus gave to us. There are no superstars in this church. We're all involved in it. All the same. We are members together, part of a body, working together as a body, as a team. We each have our special place. No one else. No one else in this church can fill your place. Do you realize that? No one. Let me tell you what. Back a few years ago, I was out raking the leaves in our front yard. And I don't mind raking the leaves in the fall because we don't have a large front yard. And So I was raking those leaves up, and I happened to look up, and down the street, across the street, I saw two ladies. It was Saturday morning. One lady was carrying a briefcase, and I thought, that's either Amway or it's Jehovah's Witnesses. Either way, I want to talk to them. And so what would normally take me 5 minutes to do, I just kept raking leaves, rake them here, and then rake them back here, you know. And I waited about 15 or 20 minutes, and sure enough, they crossed the street, walked up to me, and the lady pulled out a little magazine called a Watchtower. She offered it to me. I said, sure, I'd love to have that. I figured if I take it, nobody else will get it, so I'm going to take that thing. And I knew that she was a Jehovah's Witness. And I listened politely as she explained some things to me about what she was doing out there. And when she said she had finished, I said, could I ask you one question? She said, yes. I said, well, do you know for certain that when you come to the end of your life that you have peace with God and a home in heaven? She just kind of stepped back. She was surprised at the question, and she said, well, I think so. I mean, I hope so. I said, ma'am, could I show you in the Bible where God promises you that these things that are written in His Word are written for those that believe on Him, that we may know that we have eternal life? And so I got to spend the next 20, 30 minutes talking to them about Jesus. Now, here's my point. My point is this. You couldn't have talked to those ladies that day out there. Why? Because it's my yard. It wasn't your yard. I was the only one that could do that. It was my yard, my responsibility, my opportunity to share with them. And folks, I can't share with the folks who walk in your yard because it's your yard. It's your opportunity. It's your responsibility. And the Church of Jesus Christ, Big Spring Baptist Church, we're counting on you to share the hope and joy of Jesus where you work, where you go to school, where you meet, where you go, where you find entertainment, wherever you go. You take Jesus with you. Heaven is counting on you. Jesus Christ is counting on you. God the Father is counting on you. The Church is counting on you. Not only that, folks, but I'm counting on you too. I'm counting on you as your pastor. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, it says that when the first church began to meet, that church was committed to telling other people what Jesus had done for them. Let me read for you some of the things that happened. Then those who gladly received his word, Peter's word, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Folks, that was a happening place. That first church was really something. The pastors shared what they knew of Jesus with the people and taught them. The people then gathered together and they went out, and everywhere they went, they shared what they had heard and what God had done for them and what they had received in Christ. The pastors couldn't do it by themselves. It took everyone in the church giving and going and telling and teaching those that they met wherever they went. And the devil will tell you, you can't do it. But God the Father and the Holy Spirit of God say you can. The question is, can your church count on you? Can your church count on you? When we have visitation on Sunday evening and we're going out to share, can the church count on you to be here? By the way, we won't be doing that tonight because there's a teacher evaluation of Bible school. But the next week we will. You say, I don't know whether I could do that or not. You can pray. Go with someone else and just pray as you go and share with people as you do. The church is counting on you. And I don't know which is the most important of all, but I want to tell you one other group of people are counting on you too. The lost the lost, those people who do not have peace with God, no assurance of a home in heaven, the lost are counting on you. Will you tell them? In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 8, it says, "When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." I can still remember when I was 18 years of age reading those words. I have never gotten over the chilling effect of that as a follower of Christ. When I say to the wicked man, you're going to die and spend an eternity separated from God in an awful place called hell where you can never get out, never come back, but you don't tell him, his blood I will require at your hand. I haven't quite figured out yet the whole impact of that, but it doesn't sound like something I want to experience now or in eternity. The lost are counting on you. Someday in God's heaven, I do believe someone is going to walk up to you if you're there and tap you on the shoulder and said, "Hey, I've been looking for you, waiting for you. You're the person who showed me the way to heaven. You're the one who told me about Jesus. You're the one who invited me to have a new and meaningful life. I want to thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you. Look at all this. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you did." And folks, when that happens, it's going to be worth it all. Every tear you've shed, every mile you've walked, every fear you've had, and every doubt you've overcome, it will be worth it all when that person says to you, "Thank you for what you did for me." Let me close by telling you a true story. Francis Dixon is a well-known pastor. It was a well-known pastor in England. And actually an evangelist at times. And on one occasion, Francis had a young man join the staff of his church whose name was Peter. And when Peter joined the staff of the church, as they usually did, he said, "Peter, why don't you tell us about how you became a Christian?" And Peter, this young man, says, "Well, I was in the Royal Navy. I was stationed down in Sydney, Australia, and I was walking down George Street one day, and this little white-haired man walked up to me and said to me, 'Can I ask you a question? The Bible says that you'll spend eternity in heaven or hell. Which will it be? Think about it.' Toodaloo." And he said, the man walked off. He said, "You know, I don't know, it was like an arrow shot straight from heaven to my heart as a young serviceman. I began to think about that. Heaven or hell? Which one will it be?" He said, "I went home and I got down on my knees and I asked God to forgive me and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and change my life." He said, "That's how I became a Christian." A few weeks after that, they were having a revival in the church where Dixon preached or was pastor. The evangelist was a man by the name of Noel. And in the course of the week, someone asked Noel, "Tell us about when you became a Christian." He said, "Oh, I'll tell you about that." He said, I was living down in Sydney, Australia. And said, "I was walking down a George Street, and a little white-haired man came up to me, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, 'Sir, may I ask you a question? Will you spend eternity in heaven or hell? Think about it.' Toodaloo." He just walked off. He said, "You know, I knew how to become a Christian, and I began to think about that, and I had a time with God, and I asked God to forgive me of my sin and come into my life and make me the person that he wanted me to be, and that's how I became a Christian." Not long after that, Dixon was in Adelaide, Australia, and he was telling the story, and while he was telling it in a large church, all of a sudden a man in the back started waving his hand like this, and Dixon just stopped and said, "Sir, what is it?" He said, "Well, I want to just tell you, that's how I became a Christian. I was walking down George Street in Sydney, and said, this little white-haired man came up to me, and he said to me, 'Sir, where are you going to spend eternity, in heaven or hell? Think about it.' toodaloo. He walked off. He said, after that, you know, I began to think about that, and I prayed, and the Lord became my Savior. Well, Dixon went on to Perth on the western shore. Happened again. A middle-aged deacon said, this is how it happened to him. Down on George Street, little white-haired man walked up to him. Dixon, at a later time, went to India, where he was speaking to a group of missionaries. And while he was there, one of the missionaries spoke up and said, well, that very same thing happened to me. This missionary had been sent out from England to India, but prior to that time had been down in Australia in Sydney, gone down George Street, little white-haired man going up, knocked on, tapped him on the shoulder and said, sir, if you were spending eternity now, where would you spend it, heaven or hell? Toodaloo. Dixon said, you know, I got to find out. I've just got to, if I'm ever in Sydney, I want to meet this man. I got to find him. And lo and behold, Dixon did have an opportunity to go to Sydney some time later, a few years later. And he was being hosted by a gentleman. As they drove across town, Dixon said, I've got a strange thing to ask of you. He said, you know, everywhere I go, I hear about a little white-haired man who walks up to people on George Street, and he asks them this question. And the man starts smiling. He said, oh, I know him. That's Mr. Jenner. He said, you know him? He said, sure, I know him. He said, is he still, could I meet him? He said, sure, I'll take you to him. So he took Francis Dixon to this humble home where Mr. Jenner lived. And after they were introduced and he was meeting him, Mr. Jenner was confined to home because of his age and illnesses, and he could not get out any longer. Francis says, I want to tell you what I have experienced. And he began to talk about all these people he had met whom this little man had been the cause of their coming to Christ and having a home in heaven when they die. And all of a sudden, said the little Mr. Jenner started to cry, just began to weep, tears just running down his face. And he looked at Mr. Dixon. He said, that's the first time I ever knew that anybody ever followed Jesus because of what I did. The first time. You don't know. You don't ever know when you will have an opportunity to share with someone. Someone asked Billy Graham, what's the most successful way to carry out this command? And he said, whatever way it takes, and just leave the results to God. Share Jesus wherever you go. Last week, offered you the opportunity to take one of these little pamphlets here. It's something you could read to someone, something you could share with someone. Several of you did. Maybe today you've lost that, you put it away somewhere. Heaven's counting on you. Jesus is counting on you. The Holy Spirit of God is counting on you. The church is counting on you. I'm counting on you. The lost are counting on you. Will you tell them? Will you share? You may want to come back and refresh your supply and go back and this time share with someone. Pray that God will lead you to someone this week that you can talk to and share that with. One sweet lady came to me 2 days after she took one of these last time. She said, I called my husband, read it to him on the phone, and he agreed, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to ask God to do in my life. Well, in a few moments, we're going to pray, and then we'll sing. And while we're doing that, you have an opportunity to come and to take seriously what Jesus has asked of you and of me. But wait a minute. Maybe you're just one of those people who have just never, ever done anything about this in your whole life. Maybe you've heard from people like Mr. Jenner somewhere along in your life, haven't come to the point of dealing with it. This might be the time today, this is the time, in fact, that God would say to you, what about you, my friend? The Bible says that one day you'll spend eternity in heaven or hell. Which will it be? Think about it. Father, thank you for what you've spoken to our hearts today. While we're thinking, while we're waiting, while your Spirit is at work in our hearts, Lord, help us to take hold of that which you have given us, the opportunity to be a faithful witness for you, to receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, to follow Him in a believer's baptism, whatever it is you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing these words this morning, and my prayer is that God has spoken to your heart, that you're ready to do business with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, receive Him as your Lord, your Savior, walk with Him, follow Him in baptism, whatever way it is that God is speaking to your heart. Maybe it's someone that's on your heart. Maybe God has put such a burden on your heart for going to share with someone without saying the name of that person. You might want to come this morning in prayer and say, Lord, I hear you. I will go this week. I will talk to that person. I will take a gospel track and share it with them or tell them what you've done for me. As we sing, you make that decision. Let's stand as we sing together. You come.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me with my whole heart.